Shabbatim.
As we all know, the central mitzvah on the Seder night is to tell over the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. This mitzvah is called, known as, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Now, I think the first question methodologically that needs to be asked about this mitzvah is how it relates to a very similar mitzvah. What mitzvah would that be? The mitzvah of Zechira. When you talk about relationships between mitzvot, there are two kinds of questions you can ask. One, the relationship between things it is similar to. Two, the relationship between it and things it is coincidental to. And in the case of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, you have both. There are other mitzvot that are coincidental to it, like the mitzvah to eat Pesach Matzah and Marah. Now you would want to ask yourself whether it's coincidental that they are coincidental. Meaning, just happen to fall at the same time, or is it indicative of some relationship between the two different types of mitzvah? Sechira Yetziat Mitzrayim does not fall at the same time, although it also falls at the same time. The basis of the question is about the similarity. And really the question is, if we have a mitzvah all year to tell the story, as we know, first source in the Mishnah in Brachot, Daf Yud Bet Amud Aleph, Meskirin Yetziat Mitzrayim, not only during the day, but Balelot also, the famous Machloket, we quote in Haggadah, interestingly, and the story of Ben Zoma. The Prima Gadim really asks this question. He says, Yesh la'akshos. Shekevin shemitzah say la'haski yetziat mitzrayim v'chol yom, v'yom uv'alayla, lama hutzkruch lichto v'yigadet levincha v'yom uv'leymor, v'arei b'chol yom hu mechuyav la'haski yetziat mitzrayim v'yom uv'alayla. I couldn't say it any better than that, just I would say it in English. The Prima Gadim basically asks the kasha, b'mum. So we really need to understand what's pshat with this. In what way is the Seder night different than any other night during the year? We have a mitzvah of Zechira Yetziat Mitzrayim every day and every night, so what's added on the Seder night? I think this question is even sharper according to the Keren Ora. But before I do that, I want to show you why it pays to come to the Shir and not just listen to it on tape. Many years ago I had a student who was also a cartoonist. He actually writes for the Parsha Shavua sheets. His name is Natanel Epstein. So this is his cartoon based on the Shir, when the son asks, "Manishtana lel haseder hazeh mikol leil haseder acher." What's the difference between this Seder night and every other Seder night?
It's really good.
So I was like, "Oh my God!" Right? Good cartoon, huh? Right, so he would. I don't know if he was taking notes, but I always knew he was listening. You didn't see? Exhibit A. Pretty good, eh? Exhibit A. Very nice. We encourage individuality. This question becomes even sharper according to the Keren Ora, particularly his understanding of the Rambam, and I happen to agree with his understanding of the Rambam, and I'll show you what I mean. The Rambam mentions in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Mitzvah Seh Kuf Nun Zayin, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim Balel Chamisha Asar B'Nisan. He mentions the mitzvah on the Seder night. The problem is he does not mention the mitzvah of Zechira in the Sefer HaMitzvot. He does not mention the mitzvah to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim every day and every night. And this is strange because the Rambam does believe there's a mitzvah. It's a Beferish Mishnah, right? And in fact, in Hilchos Kriyashma, he mentions that there's a mitzvah lahazkir Yetziat Mitzrayim bayom uvalayla. So he agrees that there's a mitzvah to do it. Why doesn't he count it as a mitzvah in the Sefer HaMitzvah? There are many answers that have been suggested for this problem in the Rambam. The problem with most of the answers is that either they seem to be against the Rambam or have no basis in the Rambam. The Keren Ora's answer, I think, has a lot of basis in the Rambam. And so I will tell you the Keren Ora's answer. The Keren Ora says the reason the Rambam does not mention the mitzvah of Zechira separately in the Sefer HaMitzvot is because it is inextricably linked to the mitzvah of Sipur, and the mitzvah of Sipur is the focal point of the year-long mitzvah, and they're really all one. I'll soon show you how the Keren Ora explains this in light of the Makoros that the Rambam brings for the mitzvos, but I think what the Keren Ora is saying, it can help us understand very well why the Rambam compares the mitzvah on the Seder night, the mitzvah of telling the story on the Seder night, to the mitzvah of Zechira Shabbos. We look again at the Rambam, Hilchot Chametu Matzah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes, Mitzvah Taseh Shol Torah, L'saper B'nisim V'niflot, Shenasu La'avotenu B'mitzrayim, Bilel Chamisha Asar B'nisan, Shenemar Zechoret Ayom Hazeh Asher Yetzata Mimitzrayim. And then he adds, Kimo she'nemar, zachor et yom ha-shabbat. Why does the Rambam feel the need, and what does he gain by equating it to the mitzvah of zechira of Shabbat? There are many other things we need to remember. What's the similarity between remembering Yetzirah Mitzrayim and remembering Shabbat? So the Keren Ora, according to Keren Ora, we explain very simply. The mitzvah to remember Shabbat, is that a mitzvah on Shabbat or a mitzvah all week? On the one hand, it definitely is a mitzvah on Shabbat. How do we remember Shabbat on Shabbat? Primarily through Kiddush. That's learned from this pasuk, right? But the mitzvah also applies all week. How do we remember Shabbat all week? Shir Shal Yom, setting aside portions for Shabbat. So is the mitzvah all week or on Shabbat? The answer is both, but the focal point of the commemoration, of the remembering is... Now we can understand very well why the Rambam would compare remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim to Shabbat, because we remember it all year, but the focal point is on Pesach. Right? Meaning, when we talk about the Pesach, Yetziat Mitzrayim mitzvah. Right. And I think this is very understandable in light of the makor that the Rambam brings for each mitzvah. Let me explain what I mean. There are a number of psukim, but let's focus on two particular ones that talk about the need to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. The first is Shemot Perek Gimel, the bottom of page 1. Vayomer Moshe al Am, Zachor et Hayom Hazeh Asher Yetzatem Mimitzrayim Mibet Avadim. The second pasuk in Dvarim Perek Tet Zayin, pasuk Gimel, Lo Tochal Alav Chameit Shivat Yimim Tochal Alav Matzot Lechem Oni Ki Vechibazon Yetzatem Eretz Mitzrayim Leman Tizkor Et Yom Tzeitcha Meretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. Two psukim that speak about the need to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. The million-dollar question is, which mitzvah is derived from which pasuk? So, for example, if you look at Rashi on Shemot Perek Yud Gimel, he explains that pasuk is talking about the mitzvah to commemorate Yetziat Mitzrayim every day. Lamed shemazkirin Yetziat Mitzrayim b'chol yom. That's what's learned from the pasuk, correct? So, what would Rashi do with the pasuk in Dvarim Perek Tzayin? That's talking about Pesach. And it makes sense to say that Pasuk in Dvarim Perek Tzayin is talking about Pesach, because what are those Pesachim talking about? Pesach! Wonderful. The only problem is, it says there, eat the carbon Pesach, don't eat chametz, eat matzah. The Rambam didn't understand it this way. How do you know? Which Pasuk does the Rambam quote as a basis for the mitzvah on Pesach night? He quotes Zachor from Shemot Perek Yud Gimel. And which Pasuk does the Rambam quote in Hilchos Kriyas Shema as the basis for the all-year-round mitzvah? Dvarim Tzayin. Dvarim Tzayin. In fact, the support for the Rambam could be brought from the fact that the Mishnah we began with in Brachot Yud Bet, which is speaking about the all year round mitzvah, quotes which pasuk to show you that it applies at night as well?
Dvarim Tzayin.
The pasuk of Leman Tizkor, right? That's the way the Rambam understood it. What's the significance of all this before we take questions about it? What's the difference in the nature of the two pasukim we're talking about here? What's the difference in the way they're formulated, the pasukim? Both mentioned Kol Yomei Chayecha and Kol Yom, both. Sorry? Yeah, but what do you mean by that? Oh, okay. The Pasuk in Shemot is a command. Zachor et Hayom Hazeh Asher Yetzatem Mimitzrayim. The one in Devarim is an implication. That if you don't eat chametz and you eat matzah, you will remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's Leman Tizkor, so that. And this is what the Keren Ora on the top of page 2 builds off of. It says, the reason the Rambam sees the mitzvah on the Seder night as the focal point of the mitzvah, as what he mentions in the Sefer HaMitzvot, is because the pasuk that's written as a command refers to the Seder night. All year round is just an implication and outgrowth of the fact that we're remembering on the Seder night. Or in other words, if I have to formulate it according to the Keren Ora, it would be this. There is a mitzvah to commemorate on the Seder night. And the hope is that if you do it right on the Seder night, you will end up... remembering the rest of the year. So this understanding of the Rambam, which I think has support from the way the Rambam formulates things, this understanding in the Rambam sharpens the question even further. If it's one mitzvah, if the Seder night is supposed to be a more intensive, special commemoration, forces us all the more to ask ourselves, what's unique about it? Manishtana alayla azem yikol alaylot, not on the practical plane, but on the mitzvah conceptual Sipur versus Zechira plane. And this is, after questions, what we'll begin to try and research by taking a look first at how the mitzvah is described in the Mishnah, and then from there how it's described in the Haggadah, with my goal being to give us a good sense of the Haggadah before we learn any details about it. We can first see the forest of the Haggadah before we start studying the trees. We're going to limit questions as much as possible because there's a lot to do, but questions that are essential we'll take. Yes?
Yeah, I don't understand exactly... How the Devarim was an issue with Shemot? Like, I don't understand.
The two psukim that talk about Zechira, and the question we were talking about is which pasuk is referring to which time period?
So Rashi said that Shemot is referring to Pesach?
No. Rashi and Shemot Yud Gimel says, Lamei Shemeskirin Yetziat Mitzrayim.
That was my issue with because it doesn't. That's the one that, this is the one that says Hayom Hazah, and the other one says Kol Yemei Chayach.
And therefore?
Should have surely thought that it would be like the Rambam. I didn't see where Rashi is as far as.
You're calling me Shirley, aren't you? Rashi Svara. First of all, he gets from the Mechilta, just for you to know. Zacharat Yom Hazeh, for all days. You have to remember this day, for all days. Why would you think it's Pesach? By the way, support for the Rambam who says it's Pesach, you could bring from the last three words of the Pasuk in Shemot, which say?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm being very conflicted with that from Sukkim and Rambam and Mishnah. One says, remember Yitzhak Zion at night, remember Yitzhak Zion during the day, remember.
What way you see a conflict?
The Mishnah says, "Maskirim Yitzhak Zion the Leilot," and then
also at night, yeah.
And Rambam says, "Zachorat Hayom Asher Asay Yitzhak Zion."
That pasuk he quotes for Pesach, right? That's a different pasuk. It's talking about the need to do it on Pesach.
What's the first one, the Mishnah?
The Mishnah, the Rambam quotes that, is paraphrasing the Mishnah in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, the mitzvah lahaskir yetzias mitzrayim beyom uvalayla, every day and every night. Right?
Why does it say yom or layla or yom?
The chiddush of the Mishnah is that it needs to be done at night too, and not just during the day. And the Rambam mentions both.
Why does the Mishnah mention yom?
Because for yom is pasuk, it's a mitzvah pasuk. The chiddush of the Mishnah is about night. Yes.
The Rambam uses
Devarim
as a source for
kol
yom.
Yes, Hilchos Kriyas Shema, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. Okay. Let's turn to the Mishnah. Now, for those who don't know, Maseches Pesachim, like a number of other Masechtas, is arranged chronologically. It begins with the night before Pesach, when we do Bidika Chametz, right? It goes through the destruction of the Chametz, the preparation of the Matzah. Eventually, it concludes by getting up to the Seder night. Basically, Maseches Pesachim is from the night before Pesach to the night of the Seder. That's where the last pasuk, Perek, is Arvei Pesachim, which begins with the Isser to eat, Samach L'mincha. Eventually, the end of Arvei Pesachim, the end of Masechet Pesachim, gets to the Seder night. First cup, the Kiddush, and the Smazgulo Kos Sheni, and it gets to what we call Magid, and it says, V'kan HaBen Shoel Aviv. These few words, these four words, already teach us two unique things about the format of how we commemorate on the Seder night versus the rest of the year. What are those things? One, questions and answers, says Mr. Green with the candlestick. What's the other one?
It's an order.
The other one, father and son. How do you know they're two different things?
Because
Roy Tarragon asked if there are two. What, I'm sorry?
Well, one is the action and one's the...
Well, they're both format things. You know they're separate because you have one without the other. For example, let's say there are no children. Do you need to ask questions? Let's say the child doesn't have questions. Do you need to involve the son? That's why the Rambam, we already saw Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph on page 1. If you look on page 2, Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, it's the next halacha. The Rambam says, Mitzvah lehodia lebanim. And then in Halacha Gimel he says, V'tzarech lasos shina b'layla hazeh kedei she'yiru abanim ve yishalim. But both these things are format, not content of what you need to say, but format of how you need to say it. The next part of the Mishnah gets to the content. And what's interesting here is, it says, Imein dat beven, the son doesn't, you know, get it on his own, Aviv malamdo, the manishtana. So it sounds pretty objective, right? You ask these questions. But then the Mishnah comes back at the end to the same formulation it had in the beginning, Ulefi dat o shel ben aviv malamdo, which makes it sound like the answer depends on the son, right? There's a tension in this Mishnah between the subjective of v'imein dat b'ven aviv melamdo u'lefi dat al shel ben aviv melamdo versus the objectivity of the questions manishtana and the objectivity of the answer beginning with matchel b'gnotu mitzayim b'shevach. First it says it depends on the kid and then it starts telling you how to do it. It's kind of like high school Judaism. Each of you is different and we're going to work with you independently. Now everybody's going to do but you're all individuals. I'm not. Here we go. I'm not, right? Okay, so yeah. So it starts off Matcha Bignotim Isayim B'Shevach. And then it says you have to do Aram Yovidavi. And then Rabbi Gamliel comes along, maybe the most surprising, he says, Rabbi Gamliel Hayomer Koshalom Shlosh Devarim Elu Pesach Layotzi Yadei Chovato. Without the things I'm telling you, Pesach Matzah Mar, you're not Yotze. So obviously the question is, why are these things so essential? If they are, why do we waste our time with everything else before? Why are there three components of Sipur, and how does that relate to saying it depends on the child? But one thing is for sure, the Rambam saw these things as essential, unique aspects of Sipur versus Zechira. That's why Halacha Dalet, at the bottom of page 2, the Rambam starts off with Tzarech Lahatcha Begnotu L'Sayim B'Shevach, continuing on page 3. Halacha Hey, the Rambam. The bottom of Halacha Dalet, on the bottom page 2, after he mentions Matchamun Asayim B'Shevach, he mentions Arami Yovid Avi in one Halacha. Interestingly, the Rambam puts those two together, and then in Halacha Hey, he mentions the Shlosha Dvarim of Rabban Gamliel. So again, if you take the four Halacha together, Beis Gimel Dalet and Hey, you already see four different unique components, or five, depending on which content you're talking about, of Sipur Yetziyah Mitzrayim. What's interesting is there's a very famous Reb Chaim Alashas, Simen Mem, where Reb Chaim asked, what's unique about Sipur? And he gives this list. And everyone quotes in the name of Reb Chaim. With all due respect, again, it could be Reb Chaim who's telling you to appreciate these halachot in the Rambam, but basically that's what the Rambam does. The Rambam lists these different unique components. Now the question behind all these points is, what do all these things add? You know, can answer a question technically. What's unique about Sipur? You need to involve the child. You need to ask questions. You need to say Matzal B'Gnot. You need Arami Ovidov. You need Rabbi Gamliel. So, you know, we have a laundry list, but I don't think we have a satisfying answer, right? So again, you know, the questions and answers in the children we understand very well. Why do we have questions and answers? We want people to care about the answer. When we tell people that, it goes in one ear and out the other ear. When we give people answers to questions, then suddenly what we're telling them matters. And why do we want to involve the child?
So you can pass it on.
Seder night is the time to pass it on. So all that makes sense. But what we want to focus on this year is the content. What's these things? What are these things? How do they change the nature of what we're doing? And instead of just answering the question in theory, I want to answer the question by going through the Haggadah with you. And in order to go through the Haggadah, I want to first make a point which I think is very important that people may not realize. The Haggadah, on the one hand, is a collection of ideas, paragraphs, pieces that come from different places, from different times. It's not like Jeremy Schachter sat down and wrote the Haggadah. It comes from the Tanoim, it comes from the Amoraim, it comes from all kinds of countries. But what I'd like to show you is that it was collected very carefully and put together with a very clear structure to it. And a good way to start is to notice the very interesting similarity between the beginning and the end. As we know, Maggid begins on page 4, the first of the four page 4s. What is the deal? What is the deal?
Difference to number 4, Pesach, right?
Shh, don't tell anyone. There we come. In any case, the Haggadah begins with Ha Lachma Anya Diachalo Avotanya Be'arad Mitzrayim, right? Of course, that piece comes from Bavel, as evidenced by the Amoraic, right? Okay. Now, the Haggadah ends officially with a piece which says, I'm the end. What's the piece? Bottom of the fourth page 4. Chasal Sidur Pesach. Kihil Chato, Kichol Mishpato, Vilchukoto, Kasha, Zachin, right? That piece, by the way, is from Italy, written in Hebrew as opposed to Aramaic. You should know that it's taken from a piyut on Shabbat HaGadol that went through all the halachot of the Korban Pesach. Chasal Sidur Pesach Kihil Chaso. The piyut itself ends, Kishem Shezachin, right, the example, Kasher Zachinu Lesaderoto, Kain Nizge La Soto. When you're saying that in Shabbat HaGadol, what you really mean is we should be able to do it this week. Now, when we say it on the Seder night, obviously it's not going to happen this week. So, what phrase is added? Ashana Babi Yerushalayim, which is very similar to the phrase we have at the end of Halach Ma'anya, which is used to introduce the Haggadah. The phrase of Hashata Hacha L'Shana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael Hashata L'Shana Haba B'nei Chorin. The only two places in Haggadah where we talk about our hopes for the future: the beginning, a piece from Bavel in Aramaic, and the end, a piece from Italy in Hebrew. Someone thought carefully about what piece would begin and what piece would end the Haggadah. So interesting. And that's why there's a lot of basis for us to study how the Haggadah puts itself together. Let's go back page 3, it should be easy to find because there's only one of them, to the Gemara on the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Remember, the Mishnah mentioned as the first component, Matchil B'Gnot U'Misayim B'Shevach. Hey Barak, where's your glasses and hat? I didn't recognize you. You're in disguise today, eh? Okay. We like Barak's blue, red, blue glasses. They were very psychedelic. No? In any case, Matchil B'Gnot U'Misayim B'Shevach. The Gemara asks, "My bignut, what negative are we supposed to be beginning with?" Rav Amar, "Mitchila uvdei avodat gilulim hayu avotenu." We talk about how our ancestors were originally idol worshippers. Yoshua Perakov Dal, the piece right below. Shmuel Amar Avadim Hayinu. It's a machlokas. I know it's the first time you've ever seen in Judaism. Machlokas is when two rabbis disagree about something. And we have one here, Rav and Shmuel. Let's analyze this machlokas. Which opinion do you think is the simpler one? Which one would you say if you were asked, what should you start with? Shmuel Avadim Hayinu, no? It's the simplest, straight to the point, parsha in the Torah. Avadim Hayinu Lefaro Ben Yitzrayim Ve'otzi'enu Hashem Elokeinu Misham. So now the question becomes, why does Rav disagree? What does Rav see in the piece he quotes that he feels doesn't exist in the Shmuel piece, isn't present in the Shmuel piece?
How do you know that he refers to Yeshua?
Excuse me?
How do you know that he refers to
Yeshua? You tell me.
Chronology.
That's what the first one said. But in any case, yes?
But that this came before?
Rav's piece is better because it starts at an earlier stage.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? Rav's piece is better because it looks not only at the physical gnut, but the spiritual gnut. I guess we could put what Zach and Yaakov are saying together and say that Rav wants you to see more of the story. He wants you to start earlier, look at it in a deeper level. Rav was a rabbi, one of the last official ones with Smicha, right? Rav, as well as what Rav is saying, is not enough just to say we were slaves, we went free. We want to talk about a broader, deeper understanding of it. We want you to understand that Mitzrayim happened in the first place because we had a problem needed to be fixed. Why did we go to Mitzrayim in the first place? We were over the Avodah Zarah. We had to learn to become over the Hashem. And this notion that Rav's is a deeper, broader presentation of it, I think, is meduyak in the Rambam. If you look back at the bottom of page 2, the Rambam in Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, the Rambam mentions both Rav and Shmuel's versions, but uses a different verb. V'tzarech lahatchel b'gnut v'sayim b'shevach. Once you have it bolded, it's pretty easy. Ketzad, matchel u'misaper. The difference between Misaper and Modia is to announce and Misaper is to tell. Misaper is much more at length. Okay, so which way should we paskin? You understand what Shmuel is hoping for. Shmuel is like, okay, you got all these ambitious ideas, but let's cut to the chase, right? So, should we go with Rav or Shmuel?
I'll see the difference here.
Shmuel is more narrow and basic, and Rav is broader and deeper.
Our slaves are like weapons.
Slaves is part of the process of removing our spiritual problems and understanding from earlier stage. So, who should we paskin like? Both. Who said both? You both said both. You both said both. In fact, that's what we do. We say both. Which one do we say first? And say tonight? Avadim Hayinu, which makes sense because we're moving from the most basic level to a higher level. In fact, if you look at your Haggadah on page 4, I can just say this anytime I want to refer to the Haggadah. The headlines are mine. We actually have two parallel frameworks that each begin with 4 questions. Then each of them have a gnut, and then each of them have a shevach. Ikri, you ever recognized that before? Interesting, no? Very interesting. The 4 questions, first time Manishtan, and then the 4 children, the Gnut and the Shevach. The difference between the two frameworks is that the first framework is as basic as you can get. The 4 questions are really one question, which is, why is tonight different? The Gnut is, Avadim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim V'Yotzi'enu Hashem Elokeinu Misham. And the Shevach is, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. That is the Haggadah's version of Rub-a-dub-dub. Thank you for your T.S. Mitzrayim. It doesn't go much further than that. Now the second round is deeper. It's 4 children asking 4 questions from different perspectives. It's the Mitchila of the Avodah Zarayu Avotein V'Achshav Karbanon Makom La'Avodato. And the Shevach also is a lot deeper. Baruch Shomer Avtachato Yisrael Baruch Hu. We're realizing that it's not just that God took us out of Egypt. It was a haftacha from a much earlier stage. It was part of a long-term process. And I think really the answer to the question we asked before about the relationship between the objective matchel b'gnut and arami ovedavi and the subjective lefidato shel ben, we answer on the Seder night by moving slowly from the most basic to the most advanced. One of the big challenges on the Seder night is how do you run a Seder for people who are 4 years old and 80 years old? How do you run a Seder for people who have a lot of background and very little background? You have one kid who's showing up at the Seder with 50,000 index cards with every possible gematria under the sun, you know, collected and protected by plastic bags. And there's somebody else who just wants to eat chicken soup and, like, don't hack me a chinik, right? Now, the guy with the index cards on Kiddush, he has 16 Divrei Torah with four footnotes. One's like, you know, get out of the way, I want to eat. And so the ironic thing is that first we have the 16 Divrei Torah on Kiddush, and then 12 Divrei Torah just on the word Ha, of Halach Ma'anya, right? And then meet you by the Makos. Okay, everyone's hungry, meet you by the Makos. Mm-hmm. The Haggadah is actually built in the inverse way. And the first part is the simplest part, the part that's meant for all ages and all backgrounds. There is no one at the Seder who can't get Avadim Hayinu, the Pharaoh of the Mitzrayim. And there's a reason why all the kids' songs are to that. You guys know any Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah songs? Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah, Yinu, Ha, Yinu. Hashav Keravonah, Makom Avodah, So, Avodah, So. Again, Avodah Zarah is very simple. You got something on your back, you carry it around. What was to me, the older brother hits the younger brother, they have a great thought. You know what I'm saying? Avodah Zarah, the fire of Mitzrayim is perfect. The Manish Tana, everyone understands, tonight is different. Why? Very simple. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. It's very simple. That is not the time for deep, complex Divrei Torah. Neither is the second round, by the way. But the second round is already on a deeper level. I don't know if a kid in second grade can understand we were over the Avodah Zarah. We need to become Mishuchra from the spiritual Shiabudim, like spiritual what? So again, we're moving slowly. We're starting with the lowest common denominator. We're moving up slowly. And we'll see as we get to the later parts how we really move from piece to piece. But the first thing is to see the relationship between these two stages here. And just to finish the part, and we'll take Morty's question. After we finish the second framework of Matzah Mitzrayim B'Shevach, we have the He She'amda La'avotenu V'lanu. Shelo Echad B'Lvad Amar Aleinu L'Chaloteinu Ela She'Bechol Dor V'Dor Omdil L'Chaloteinu V'Lanu V'Lanu V'Lanu. What is the goal of the He She'amda? Think before you answer, because I didn't ask what it says. I know what it says. What is the goal of the He She'amda? Don't tell me, the goal is to tell you that in every generation we're attacked. That wouldn't be the goal. That would be translating what it says into English. You would not get any credit for that answer. What is the goal of Yishanda? Yes?
Make it relevant.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Couldn't have said it better myself. Couldn't have said it better myself. To make it relevant. But now comes a difficult question. Where was the first attempt to make it relevant? There's something better than that. Better than that. And earlier, yes. Did you want to take a different answer, Masia, about the goal for Yishanda? Did you want to give it another? Okay, yeah. Eventually, you guys will hit it because there are a limited number of pieces that came before. No.
Order of the Seder.
All of the Seder. All the above answers are correct. Oh, is there order?
The order of the Seder.
Yes, there is order to it. Keep going. Back this time. Avadim Ayinu the Pharaoh B'Mitzrayim. V'yotzienu Hashem Elokeinu Misham B'Yad Chazakah V'Zeruah Netuya. V'ilu Lo Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Et Avotenu M'Mitzrayim. Hare Anu V'Nezin. Bold, you know. V'Nenu V'Nei V'Nenu Mishua Badim Hayinu the Pharaoh B'Mitzrayim. Yaakov, what would you say the goal of those lines is?
To make it relevant.
Let's see how successful it is. Let's think for a second. How many of us buy that? Okay, we're all Jews, we're religious, we just keep going. But I'm saying, let me ask you a question. Right. I once saw a picture in Newsweek of an African-American young man spray painting a statue of Abraham Lincoln. Now, why is that a poignant picture? Because Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. Just ask Steven Spielberg, right? He freed the slaves. Don't ask Ben Affleck, but ask Steven Spielberg. He freed the slaves. What's pshat? Why does he not appreciate it? The answer is, because he freed them 160 years ago. What does that have to do with me? And you know what? Even if you could prove that the Jews would still be slaves, I don't know if they'd still be slaves. Wouldn't the UN have done something at some point? It's true, they're Jews, but, you know, b'cholzot, right? You know, at some point, historically, they would have become, even if you could prove that they would not have been, let's say they would still be slaves. We don't appreciate something that God did 3,500 years ago. 3,000 years ago, whatever, right? It's hard to feel the appreciation. So it's desperate. The He Shamda, by the way, the He refers Pashup Shat to. I thought you just said it. Someone said it. The V'hi refers to what came right before it. The Haftacha. It's that Haftacha that has been for us in every generation. V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the same Hakadosh Baruch Hu we refer to in Avad Aminu, V'ilu Lohotzi Hakadosh Baruch Hu V'Avadenu. V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Mi'adam. The story is relevant because something similar happens in every generation, and we can only read V'Hisha Amda after the second round of Matcha B'Gnotu Masayim B'Shevach, because if we're looking at the story in a narrow form, we were slaves and we went free, that only happened once. Only once we're seeing the story in the broader context of a historical development and the Haftocha of Hashem, can we see how similar things happen in every generation. But frankly, I don't think we're at the climax yet of the relevance we hope to establish on the Seder night, but the challenge of relevance, I think, is the most central challenge on the Seder night. But what we've completed is the first of the three components described by the Mishnah. What were the three components again? Matcha B'Gnotu Masayim B'Shevach, Arami Ovid Avi, and Rabban Gamliel. What did you say? I can't hear. What? No, no. I'm talking about the three components of Maggid that the Mishnah says should be the answer to the son. So what was the second component? Okay, Morty, yes.
Did the Rambam have the opposite order? Did he have...
I don't know. You tell me. I know exactly why you're asking. I don't know. We don't do it that way, though. So, you know. You asking a question or pointing to yourself?
I'm pointing at myself.
Okay. Is it working?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
The difference between the first set and the second set, though, is the second set, the first set, the Avon HaMayim is a teretz to the Manashtana.
And I think the Mitchila is a teretz to the Arbabanim.
But the Arbabanim, they answered, like, your father answered them.
Okay. The structure isn't exactly the same. But it still is Matcha B'Gnot the second time. Back to the Mishnah. It said Arami Ovid Avi, correct? What is Arami Ovid Avi supposed to be adding? Look back, in fact, at the Lashon of the Mishnah and tell me if you can see. What verb is used to introduce Arami Ovid Avi? Vidoresh. What does Vidoresh mean?
Extrapolate,
more in depth. That's why Arami Ovid Avi is introduced with the Eretz Yisrael version of Tashma. Say Ulamad. Arami Ovid Avi is different in that. It's going through the details. Basically, we take the longest description in the Torah of Yetziat Mitzrayim, from Dvarim Perek Chavav. We take each of the psukim and we darshan each phrase. That's why Arami Ovid Avi is so long. If you look at pages 4 and 4, you'll see how long it is, right? It's long. People agree that it's long. Compared to the two Matcha B'Gnos frameworks that fit into one page, of course, page 4, and here you see that it's two page 4s. As confusing as it may sound, it's much longer. You see the drushas? I underline each phrase for you. By the way, which part of the Haggadah is supposed to be the detailed Divrei Torah? This part. That's why it's ironic and inverse that people spend so much time darshaning which four questions are asked in Manishtana, and then when they're finally out of their minds, they're like, okay, meet you by the Makkah. Say Lamad. Say Lamad is the tough part to start getting into the gritty and nitty gritty details. And the Shevach is similar. What's the Shevach at the end of Arami Ovid Avi? Right, Dayenu. Dayenu is a song built to stress, to highlight just how much Hashem did. That's the whole point, right? Of course, we begin with the same phrase. Kama malo tovot la makom aleinu. Why is the word makom underlined? Because the earlier Shevach was Parach HaMakom. So we're building off that earlier. Alachat kama v'kama tovach fula u'mechupelet la makom aleinu. This is the time to appreciate all the details, as opposed to Matcha B'Gnotu Masayim B'Shevach, which is a theme. We begin with the theme. Theme in the simplest way, theme in a deeper way. I would say maybe the first section is, you know, everybody, second section above third grade. This section maybe above sixth grade. Again, you know, to my level of knowledge, of background, of interest, of understanding. We want to understand the story in its fullest. Now that we've seen the first three parts of the Haggadah, we're even more surprised to go back to Rabban Gamliel's statement in the Mishnah. Bold statement, right? Kol shelo amar shlosha dvar me'elu b'pesach, lo yotzi yodecho v'osa. After we've done all this, why are we not yotzi? If we don't talk about Pesach, Matzah, Amara, why are those things so important, right? It's a good question, right? After questions, we will try and answer that question and get to the home stretch of the Haggadah and our appreciation and back to the beginning and everything. Any questions? Yes.
Sorry, I've had a mishnah before with Sefer HaTanya in the beginning.
Sefer HaTanya, I didn't talk about it yet.
I didn't say
that. Nope. Yep, we're here. I skipped it. Because that's the Makoros section. We're not finished with the Makoros section. Yes. The Shevach at the end of Aram Yehovah Davi is like Baruch HaMakom in that he uses the word Makom. It's different in that it's more detailed. It's not just more detailed. It's about details. What?
Why is there a Shevach here, though? Is there
each section ends with a Shevach. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Two questions. One.
Two. So if you get two Shevach.
Yeah. Who compiled the...
Avoda?
Yeah.
Me. We don't know. It seems that it had historically, over time, slowly built into what we have today. Uh-huh. Doesn't seem like it was one person. It might have been Yaakov.
Okay. Yes.
They said things. We don't know what stage they said what, right? What they do for tefillah. We don't know what stage what developed, right? Okay, shall we? Why is Pesach Matzah Maror so important? I think the answer can be seen. Ooh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's it.
I mean, for the overview.
That's a super complex part.
I know. Seder. We're giving an overview. As you learn over the next weeks, I expect you to cover every line. This is the forest, not the trees. You know what I'm saying? There we go. Okay, Gump. Anyway, getting back to the point. If you look in the Mishnah, and the Rambam, and the Haggadah, you will see that in all three of them, Rabbi Gamliel's statement of the Shlosh Dvarim is followed by the same statement. And what is that same statement? That is the statement. What's after the statement? That is the statement. What's after the statement? B'chol dor v'dor. Chayav adam lerot or laharot et atzmo ki'ilu hu ba'atzmo yatza ata mimitzrayim. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say because this is the most important part of the Haggadah and the Shir. The number one goal difference of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim versus Zechira is that the goal isn't just to remember, the goal is to experience. There's a chiyuv on the Seder night as opposed to the rest of the year to feel like you are experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's a very hard thing to accomplish. A very hard thing to accomplish. Let's say we want it to feel like we are experiencing the War of Independence. So we would, you know, put on the clothing they wore in what year?
1776.
It's interesting to see whether people say 1776 or 1948 or, you know, whichever war you thought I was talking about. You'd put on the clothes, you'd go back to the scene. Now, you know, the first thing you would do is you would learn about it. You got to learn about the themes, right? Then you got to learn about the details. Because you can't imagine something if you don't know the details. But there's a very big difference between studying and remembering something and reenacting it. Now, reenactment ideally would be if you had the actual guns. Cool, no? And strange looking hats and shorts and whatever else they used. And you went back. And you took off your watch. Depending on which war, you know, or which watch. You wouldn't have yourself. Meaning, relics are an important part of connecting to an experience. Here, Pesach, Matzah, Umar are much more than just relics. It's not just a sack that your grandfather happened to use. They are relics that have significance to them. They were an important part of the process. If you just tell the story and don't connect it to the objects, it remains in the realm of Zechira. And you're not Yotzei Yedei Chovoso. You can't just start the Seder with the objects. You have to start by slowly appreciating the story. But if that's all you do and you don't connect the story to the objects, it doesn't reach the level of the whole Dor V'Dor Chayev HaMerzah. What's interesting is that B'chol Dor V'Dor is a very different way of creating relevance, right? It's interesting, if we go back to the first page 4 in our Haggadah, we can remember the formulation of the first two ways we accomplish relevance. The second way was, Hisham Dalav Otenu V'lanu Shaloh Achad B'lvad Amar Aleinu L'chalotenu Ela She'b'chol Dor V'Dor, something similar happens. And what are we saying now? B'chol Dor V'Dor, same words. The exact same thing happens. B'chol Dor V'Dor Chayav Adam Lerot Et Atzmo. Not B'chol Dor V'Dor, something similar happens. B'chol Dor V'Dor, we experience that. The second part of the paragraph of B'chol Dor V'Dor is responding to Avad Meinu. Because what did we say in Avad Meinu? V'ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu et avoteinu mimitzrayim. And what does B'chol Dor V'Dor say? Lo et avoteinu bilvad hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela Af otanu ka'al imahem. This is a much higher level. This is us experiencing that. This is a very important part of Judaism, because if you think about it, O Malchut Shemayim, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Avodai Hem, the sense of Avdis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rooted in the fact that He took us out of Mitzrayim. Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zara Ayu Avotenu Ve'achshav Karavanu HaMakom La'avodato. The sense of being an Eved Hashem is rooted in the fact that He took us out of Mitzrayim. The degree to which one can see himself as an Eved Hashem hinges on the degree to which a person can see themselves as having been taken out of Mitzrayim. If we can't see ourselves as taken out of Mitzrayim, we can't see ourselves the proper level of Ovdei Hashem that we need to see ourselves as. That's why this is so important. Again, you can answer the question, how is Sibra different? The children, the questions, the Gnut, Neshevach, the Arobiyavi, the Shlosh Devarim, they're all right. But if you don't understand what it climaxes with, you've missed the point. The point is, behold, over the Rechayim Adam Liris HaSatzko. And this is how the Haggadah transitions from telling a story to experiencing a story to a higher level of Shevach, which is called Hallel. Lefichach anachnu chayavim. Bechol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot atzmo. Lefichach anachnu chayavim. Anachnu chayavim. Lehodot la'alel shabach lefer l'romain la'adel l'verech la'alel l'kaleis l'misha asa la'avotenu v'lanu et kol ha'nesimeilu. Hotzi anu. The bracha we say at the end, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam asher. And lest you think that the Ga'alanu means the royal we, it says Asher Ga'alanu ve. So Asher Ga'alanu means us. Me and you. Interesting trivia question. You ready, Aaron? What night of the year do we say Hallel not only once but three times? That's a lot of times, no? Oh, no, actually, two times. But what Yom Tov do we say in one day Hallel three times? If you have the minute to say Hallel and Shul on the Seder night, and people have the minute to say Hallel and Shul on the Seder night. A lot of people say Hallel in Shul. We say Hallel the next day in Shul. Right? And we say Hallel at the Seder. What's going on? Why say it? That's a lot of Hallel. The difference is very important and very simple. The Hallel we say in Shul at night is like the Hallel we say during the day. It's a Hallel of Yom Tov. It's commemorative. The reason many have a meaning to say Hallel at night is because it's a separate Yom Tov, separate from the day. The Yom Tov of Pesach after the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach. Okay, it's a Yom Tov. The Hallel we say at the Seder isn't supposed to be commemorative, it's supposed to be experiential. The Gaonim say it's Shira, not Hallel, and use that to explain many of the halachic differences between Hallel on the Seder night and Hallel the rest of the year. For example, the fact that we're mafsik in the middle with a meal. The Hallel on the Seder night is experiential, one that expresses our appreciation, our celebration and appreciation over having been saved ourselves, not over something that happened in the past. Something that's happening to us. And this is important for us to realize, because if we don't realize what we're doing, obviously we're not doing it right. And if we don't realize what we need to be doing, we can't do it. And if we don't understand how we need to get there, we've gotten nowhere. A person needs to understand how page 4 works. Of course, I mean the fourth page 4, right? How Rabbi Gamliel is such an important transition to get you to behold Dor V'Dor, and how that internalization is essential for moving on to Hallel. If we don't have that, we're just not doing it, right? We've missed a point. No, Zach, do you think we've missed a point? We've missed a point. No, hopefully we don't. So hopefully we've gotten the point. But if we didn't, then we missed the point, right? If we look back for a second on the bottom of page 3 so we can finish the Makoros. Chas v'shalom, we wouldn't finish the Makoros, could you imagine? So the Ran on the Rif quotes this Rav Haigon, second source, bottom of page 3. Says, we don't make a bracha on Hallel B'Leil HaSeder because we're not reading it as a Kriya, we're saying it as a Shira. He's making the connections between the two parts. The Sefer Atanya is mechadesh that v'chol dor v'dor v'chol yom v'yom chayev adam liros atzmo kiilu yatzah hayomi Mitzrayim. He's mechadesh that a person needs to see themselves every day as having left Mitzrayim. Okay. I think what that means is that ideally this realization, this high level we get to on the Seder night, should change the way we remember the whole year. There's a very big difference between remembering something you're told happened to somebody else and remembering something you yourself experienced. The goal of the Seder night is to make the story relevant by making it something we all experienced. And once we understand what's going on, of course, this explains a lot of the hugging people have to, you know, walk around the table with matzah and do all these things. But whether you have those minhagim or not, the goal needs to be clear and we need to make sure that we accomplish it, right? Any questions? Okay. So the point of the shiur was to give you the big picture. Now, you can look in context and seeing how each piece adds to it, right? And Alex is very eager to do that. In fact, I assume he's going to be giving a number of shiurim on this in the next 2 weeks. The next 2 weeks are two very important weeks of learning. Yes, I would love to. They're two very important weeks of learning, and let's each of us take upon ourselves to make sure that we maximize each moment. And let's take upon ourselves to tell those not here hearing me tell you that you should maximize each moment. Let's tell them to maximize each moment. Right, Mr. Schachter? Or should I call you Mr. Kedalia? What? Kidatanya? What? Kavata. So, Mr. Kavata, let's make sure that we're all taking advantage of every moment.